Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Immaculate Heart Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shape the Trinity League. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here is your host, Bob Gibson.
Thanks again for joining us here on Catholic Sports View. Later on in the program, we will be out at J. Sarah High School, and we'll focus on their boys' lacrosse program. And we'll also visit at Santa Margarita High School and their boys' volleyball program, which is reaching some big heights. But we start off this week by focusing on the Orange Lutheran High School baseball program, which is nationally ranked and one of the top teams in Southern California. We recently had a chance to talk with their head coach, Eric Borba. Coach, thanks for joining us. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Let's talk about your team this year. We'll get into a little bit of the history of Orange Lutheran, and it's always fun to talk about a team that has a national profile, and that's exactly what the Lancers have had for a few years now, but especially this year. This team really looks built to be a long-term contender this year. It's got to be an exciting time to start a new baseball season with this group of guys.
Yeah, it is. You know, we've had a lot of these guys in our program, obviously, for 3 and 4 years now. We've got a couple of guys that have started on the varsity level for 4 years and a couple more that have started for 3 years. So, you know, although we don't look ahead in time, we've known that this year would be probably a good chance to have a pretty good year and one of the strongest teams we've had. So we're excited that it's here and guys are working hard. And now it's just a matter of going out and playing the game the way they've learned to do it.
You're entering your ninth season at Orange Lutheran. Is this possibly the best group you've had in your almost 10 years at the school now?
Yeah, you know, I think it's right there. I've been pretty blessed to have some good players and some good teams over the 9 years here. I think from a position player standpoint, this is definitely the deepest we've ever been. The question coming in this year is the pitching. We've had years, 2010, we were ranked number one in the country for a while. We had a very good team there. 2012 was another year we were ranked number one in the country. We had a lot of depth there. I don't think we've had a team with as many high-profile guys as we do this year, led by Garrett Mitchell, you know, who's projected to possibly go in the first round this year in the Major League Draft. But I think this team definitely ranks right up there with all of them.
Obviously, you know, all the attention, you're right, that, you know, the Major League Draft will come up to you towards the end of the season, that, you know, that has ramifications, the national rankings, all that stuff. Is there a conversation at some point you have with your team to sort of put all that aside and focus on what's ahead? Or is this the kind of group where, you know, these kids just don't really pay attention to that kind of stuff anyway?
Yeah, I think there's a combination. Our kids have, you know, being that they've been there a little bit before and been in those rankings, they know that they don't really mean much. In our 9 years, we haven't been able to win that last game of the year, and that's the ultimate test. So the rankings, as nice as they are, to recognize these guys for how hard they work and the talent that we have, I think our guys are versed enough to know that they don't really mean anything, and it's nice to get, you know, the media attention and get their names in the paper and whatnot. But ultimately, it comes down to winning baseball games at the end of the year in May and June.
I think what helps, too, is that there's so many other teams with high profiles, obviously, in the Orange County area. You know, Mater Dei's right there. J. Sarah, obviously, you know, has a top-flight program. Huntington Beach, a team that gave you your only loss so far this season, is obviously a top team as well. So you guys aren't alone in this fishbowl. Lots of great talent out here in Southern California, as usual.
Absolutely. Every year, Southern California is just loaded with talent. It's got great coaches, great players, and it's fun. Every day you got to strap it on and be ready to play because you could get beat on any day by any team. So it makes it really a college environment. We talk about baseball all the time, and you look at the best teams in the major leagues, and they lose 60 times. You win 100 games, you're really good. So this sport already is competitive enough, and anybody can beat anybody. But then you talk about the talent you have here, and you really got to come to play every day.
As a member of the Trinity League, you already know you got your work cut out for you when it comes time to play those league games. But is part of the thought process, you guys have a tough schedule early on in the season. Is that necessary to be ready for league play?
Well, we think so. Again, I think it goes into preparing us for the end of the year. We want to play the toughest schedule we can, and we know that if we want to be recognized as one of the best programs in the country, we got to go out and compete against them. So year in and year out, in the summer and fall, I'm looking to try to schedule the best teams I can. And I know a lot of the high-profile players across the country kind of do my homework on who's going to be the best teams, and we want to try to go out and play the best competition we possibly can. We're not really worried about wins and losses. We're worried about the whole process that's going to get us, hopefully, to a championship at the end of the year.
Eric Borba, the head baseball coach at Orange Lutheran High School, joining us this week on Catholic Sports View. You'll finish up the next couple of games here, a three-game series with Santa Margarita. That's going to give you a nice peek into what league will look like. Then you travel. You're going to go cross-country. You're going to take your group over to North Carolina and play in the National High School Invitational. That's got to be as exciting as anything you'll see this year.
It's great competition. It's a great tournament. USA Baseball does a tremendous job. We were fortunate enough to go twice previously. We went in 2012 with that team I mentioned earlier, and we also went in 2014. The whole experience for the kids, the competition level, the ability to see players from across the country that you read about, it just makes the whole thing a tremendous experience for these kids.
Are these the kind of trips, too, that can really unite a team, bring them even closer?
Absolutely. I think team building is the biggest challenge that we face as coaches, and in today's day and age where there's so much individualism in that everyone's looking to try to get a scholarship or get drafted and go to the next level, and it's really become a sport that's driven by what each individual player does. It makes that team chemistry piece a little more difficult to achieve. So anytime we can travel, get these guys kind of rooming together, getting to know each other a little bit more. Hopefully it's going to help us have that edge at the end, because we know ultimately the best team's going to win. You see it year in and year out. The team that has the best cohesion is really the team that's going to be successful at the end of the year.
Then middle of April, you'll find yourself right again in the middle of one of the great tournaments that's quickly become one of the great tournaments. Explain to everybody listening how good the Boris Classic has become here in Southern California.
Well, I talk about it all the time with other coaches and whatnot. It's amazing. Having gone to North Carolina a couple of times, people always ask how that competition is. And although it's great competition, I tell people, all the time that you can find the same competition here in Southern California. You could take any number of teams back to North Carolina and they'd have a chance to compete. That's not to take anything away from those teams that are there. It just means the amount of quality players and amount of quality programs that there are in Southern California. And you get a chance to see 16 of those in the Boris Classic here just in Southern California, let alone the 16 in Northern California. Brett Kay and Burt Call have done a tremendous job of getting the best teams year in and year out in Southern California, and it causes a lot of sleepless nights, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I bet it does. Eric Borba joining us here, the head baseball coach at Orange Lutheran High School. The focus, of course, is on the players that play the game, and we talk about, your squad and Jay Serra, and we got players there that are going to go in the first round of the draft, and modern day's got some of the best players, and Santa Margarita's always right. Servite, we can't forget Servite, how good they've been, over the past few years as well. How much fun is it for you to kind of pit your knowledge and your skills against the other great coaches in this league as well?
Oh, I think it's great. It's like a chess match every game. We opened up league last night against Santa Margarita, and there was three lead changes. It was in and out, and it constantly has you thinking. So, I'm trying to really look at the personalities of the other coaches and look at tendencies that they've done in the past. Dave McConney called a squeeze bunt against us last night, and we missed an opportunity for a pitch out there when it did cross my mind. We actually called it. We just didn't execute it very well. Each coach kind of has their own little tendencies and their own character that makes it more into that chess match and thinking ahead. And really, sometimes we got to prepare ahead. It's important that we think 2-3 pitches ahead, because there's certain guys in the league you got to pitch around that you're not going to let beat you on a day. And each day you kind of look at it as, hey, we're not going to let this guy beat us, or these are the guys we want to challenge, or these are the matchups that we want by using our bullpen. We really got to be on top of it. It makes it just a challenge every day.
Yeah. Here on Catholic Sports View, of course, we focus on the Trinity League. Every school in this league is a private school, including your own. Students choose to come to your school. Baseball is unlike a lot of other sports where the private schools really seem to dominate. But in baseball, the public schools really, really do well. Do you find it fun to play like a Huntington Beach, a public high school that has a great program?
Oh, absolutely. Benji Madura down at Huntington Beach does a great job. He's, as long as I've been at Orange Lutheran, they've been recognized as one of the best programs around. You got Mike Gonzalez down at El Toro. You got John Weber at Cypress. That traditionally, they just have good programs. And I think good coaches in baseball can make a huge difference. And obviously, again, it goes back to the amount of talent that you have in Southern California. There's players everywhere you turn. And everybody's got at least a couple of guys that can beat you. And everybody's got a couple of guys that are going to be Division I players. I don't remember the last time we played a school that didn't have a couple of prospects or a couple of Division I players.
Why do students choose to come to Orange Lutheran? When they do come there and they want to be, you know, a Lancer and play baseball for you, you know, what are the reasons they give? Why are they choosing Orange Lutheran?
Well, we hope that it's the Christian character and the academics, the whole picture, kind of. We want to be good at everything. You know, our kids in the baseball program go through a lot of Christian character development. We do devotions. We do team dinners where we do Bible studies. Our kids are in scripture all the time, and that's a big part of it. We pray before every practice and at the end of every practice. We pray before every game, the end of every game. We ask our student athletes to be involved in it. So when students come to Orange Lutheran, we want them to be there because they know that's part of it. Baseball is just an arena for us to carry out God's mission. And then the academic piece is, you know, second to none. Our school does a tremendous job in the classroom. I think the total picture at Orange Lutheran is why a lot of kids want to come there. I mean, we're able to stay somewhat small. We have a small campus. It's really a community environment. It's a real family. Our teachers care. They're active and involved in our kids' lives. So really, those are the things that sell us. So hopefully it's not just one thing or the other. You know, it's nice to be great at baseball or great at football or, you know, we don't want that to be the reasons kids come to our school. We want it to be one piece of the whole puzzle.
Yeah, you know, it's such a neat little campus over there for those who haven't been there, or kind of tucked away in the city of Orange over there. I always love visiting over there because it's such a fun place to be, and you can feel how vibrant everything is over there. I think it really helps that the rest of the athletic program does very well, too. It seems like, you know, everybody kind of feeds off everybody else within that athletic program over there.
Yeah, there's a lot of cohesiveness amongst the coaches. Paul Jones, our athletic director, at our meetings, you know, he's really supportive of us coaches working together and communicating. Coach Nordstrom, Coach Presley, our new football coach, and I, you know, we talk all the time, and we try to learn from each other. We try to find ways to better prepare our kids to go out and be, you know, positive influences in society and positive influence in a team environment. So, again, that family environment that we have in the small campus helps promote that. The energy level at our school just makes everybody really want to support each other. We have a bunch of team players.
We're going to take a quick break here on Catholic Sports View, and when we come back, we'll have more with head coach Eric Borba. We're going to talk about his career, how he got to Orange Lutheran, and a little bit more about this Lancers team. It's an exciting time to watch baseball in Southern California, and Orange Lutheran is a big part of that reason. We'll be back right after this here on Catholic Sports View. Welcome back to Catholic Sports View on Immaculate Heart Radio. My name is Bob Gibson, and joining us this week is the baseball coach at Orange Lutheran High School, Eric Borba. Coach, you know, kind of where we left off, we were talking about how exciting it is to be a baseball fan in Southern California because there's so much great talent here. Obviously, you're privileged to be a part of the community here. How'd you get your start in coaching?
Well, it goes back to actually my high school years. I graduated from Damien High School, Catholic High School in Laverne, and, mm-hmm. You know, I went through a time at Damien where I had four different high school coaches in my 4 years while I was there. And my senior year, my head coach at the time, Ken Wells, kind of put a lot on me from a leadership standpoint and gave me the opportunity to really have an influence on practice planning and whatnot. And I fell in love with it right there. And I knew I wanted to coach. I got into my college years as a player, and I had those doubts and questions on whether or not coaching was the right path, just for the simple fact is, you know, I had those young aspirations of making a ton of money, and I knew coaching wasn't going to do that. So I kind of hemmed and hawed with it. And then when I was playing at Sonoma State, I played for John Geltz, who's won about 1,000 games now at the Division II level, just an amazing influence on me. And when I was a junior playing for him, he came to me during one of our games one day and said, you know, you're going to make a great coach. If you want to coach here when you're done playing, I would love to have you. And that kind of brought me back to knowing that it's what I wanted to do. It's what God had in store for me and that I was being called to do. So I finished my senior season there at Sonoma State and immediately jumped on staff there at Sonoma under Coach Geltz. And then God really paved the path for me. It was amazing how things worked out. We talk about timing being everything and fate and whatnot. Well, my roommate at the time, when I was an assistant coach at Sonoma there my first year, got a head coaching job at a local high school at the same time in 1998. And he asked me if I could run the JV team for him at the high school, the Rancho Cotati High School, which actually shares a fence with Sonoma State, so it was right next to it. Well, I was able to coach both at Sonoma State and do the JV team at Rancho Cotati that year. So I just loved it. Fell in love with it. very passionate about it. The next year, the job at a small school, small public school in Sonoma County called Annaly High School in Sebastopol. That job opened up, and I happened to be the right time, the right place. Coach Geltz gave me a great recommendation, and I met with the athletic director there, Chip Castleberry, who, you know, we just developed a relationship right away. I was hired to coach at Annaly, and about five games into my first year at Annaly, we started 0-5, and I questioned myself again. A lot of prayer and reflection saying, God, is this really what I was called to be? I'm a head coach, and I'm 0-5. Well, somehow, by the grace of God, we were able to turn around that season. We ended up winning 13 of our last 17 games and making the playoffs.
Wow.
Yeah, it was tremendous. And then my second year at Annaly, we had a lot of returning guys, and I was fortunate enough to win a CIF championship with that group in 2000. And it kind of really paved the way for my coaching career. I stayed at Annaly another 2 years, had some success there. I knew that God was calling me to have a greater influence and to do bigger things in my career. I wasn't completely content where I was at. It was really a grind being a public school, and Annaly was great, but it was really not what I envisioned. You know, teaching 5-6 classes a day and doing all the fundraising, all the field work, kind of begging kids to play. We only had about 800 students at the school. It was a grind daily. And as much as I loved it, I thought that there was a better plan for me. So I ended up going back to Sonoma State as an assistant coach in 2003 after 4 years at Annaly. I coached 1 year at Sonoma and the job at De La Salle opened. I went down and interviewed, and I was hired at De La Salle High School, one of the premier high schools in the country.
Absolutely.
And a lot of prayer. My wife was pregnant with our first child at the time. It was an hour and 20-minute drive from where I was living, but I just felt God's calling to go there and accept that position. Again, it was in a Christian environment where I could have an influence in kids not only on the field but off the field in their Christian character. And it was a great opportunity for me. I was at De La Salle 5 years, enjoyed a lot of success there, won 2 CIF championships there. I always had the desire to move back to Southern California, having been born and raised down here. And the job opened at Orange Lutheran. And night before, you know, there was kind of some turmoil at the end of my career at De La Salle. Just the school was kind of going in a different direction. I was going in a different direction. I wasn't teaching at the school. I was teaching at a junior high and then having to commute. And so I decided to resign at De La Salle, actually, after the 2008 season. So I knew that God would open doors for me, and I'd have something. I didn't know what I was going to do. Well, about 2 weeks into the summer, I was actually on a family vacation in Hawaii. My grandparents' 60th wedding anniversary took the whole family to Hawaii, and it was the end of June. And I just remember the second night, I really just knelt in prayer. I didn't know what God had planned for me. Nothing had seemed to be coming clear to me with my career path. I knew I wanted to coach, and no doors were open. So I started crying, got down on my knees, just asked the Lord to lead me. And sure enough, about 2 o'clock in the morning in Hawaii, I opened my computer up and started looking for coaching jobs. And the first one that popped up was Orange Lutheran High School. So, you know, the rest is kind of history. I mean, sorry for the long-winded story.
No,
it's amazing how I feel that God's placed me here and really, you know, steered the ship for me, if you will.
No, it's a great story. I'm glad you shared it with us, and it's a great testimony to you know, what it means to open yourself up and just say, hey, God, let me know where I'm supposed to be. You know, I mean, you know, here I'm gonna give myself over here and just show me that path. And here you go. It's led you now to 9 years at Orange Lutheran High School. The heights you've reached here at Orange Lutheran. Obviously, this was a program that had already had some success, but here you go. Was that the challenge to take a program and you know, put your stamp on it within the Lancer program?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think we all have to have our own philosophy, and another challenge is getting all of those players to buy into that philosophy. So it's a grind, and it's what we love, though, as baseball coaches. You know, we love that challenge of what's today going to bring and the different things you see in baseball on a daily basis. It's fun. I was always a guy that liked puzzles and mysteries and games and those kinds of things, and I feel like baseball is one of those. You never fully have a stamp on it, and this game will humble you every day. So I love it, and it's what drives me every day.
Yeah, it's so true. Eric Borba joining us here, the head baseball coach at Orange Lutheran High School. It's so true. I always tell people, baseball gets in your blood. It just really becomes a part of who you are, and you're right. It is a humbling game because even a team that you think, you know, this team on paper that can't play with us, some team's going to fight you tooth and nail for 7 innings. I mean, that's really how baseball's played.
Back to our scheduling. That's another reason why I like to schedule the toughest opponents that I can, because, you know, at least I know that our guys are going to be ready to play, and that I know if we get beat, it's going to be by a good team. There's a lot of times that we go into games against teams that we're favored, if you will, significantly to win a ball game that we've gotten beat. It just you know, it's hard to motivate guys sometimes to bring it every day. Well, this schedule helps me to do that, and really, I'm not the best motivational speaker or the guy that's a real rah-rah, pump-me-up kind of guy. Hopefully our schedule does that for these kids, and I know that it does. So it helps me from a coaching standpoint as well to play the best competition I can.
Obviously, I think I'm sure it's got to help the fact that you know, this is a program now that's just churning out big time players. You know, two pitchers, Garrett Cole, Brandon Maurer, who have you know, been major league players. You know, obviously had success at the major league level. There's a slew of guys playing in the minor leagues right now. I mean, the list of guys playing Division I, Division II college ball, I don't think you can fit it on one page now. I mean, it's just the amount of talent coming out of here. Obviously, that's a nice testament to any kid who's thinking about where they want to go. And like we said, lots of places that would love to bring a good baseball player aboard. Orange Lutheran has got to be right at the top of somebody's list.
Well, we like to think so. And again, you know, hopefully it's more than just the baseball, because they're going to get more than that when they're here.
You know, it's obviously your name at the top of the list there. You're the head coach, but I always want to give head coaches a chance to talk about their staff, because it means so much. The assistant coaches, you know, so sometimes they go overlooked, but they mean so much to a team's success throughout a season.
No doubt. It's kind of like the offensive line in football. You know, they don't get much of the attention, but they do a lot of the meat and potatoes work, if you will. I'm blessed to have a great staff. I have Scott Stroud. He's our third base coach, which is our infielders in our bunting game. The guy just works. If I had to describe him with one word, it'd be works. I mean, whatever we need, he's there for the kids and putting in extra time, throwing batting practice. We call him the machine when he's throwing batting practice, because he just doesn't stop. He'll throw day in, day out, all day. He'll get there early to throw to the kids. Stay late, whatever it takes. He also does a lot of the maintenance on equipment and stuff for us. So he does a great job with the kids. AJ LaMonda works with our hitters, and he develops relationships with these kids unlike any young coach I've seen. The kids really have a lot of trust in him. He puts in the time. He's constantly writing notes and communicating with them to make them each individually better. We have Ed Deese, who has been my pitching coach, you know, since I got here 9 years ago. That's one of the greatest men of God that I know, that has a positive influence on these guys day in and day out. He does a tremendous job with our pitching. I think our pitching records speak for themselves, and the success that we've had. And in his time, he's been at Orange Lutheran for 18 years. And the amount of pitching success, just you can't talk enough about.
Yeah.
We have Josh Rod. We have another coach. Sorry to keep going, but
No, please do.
Credit. We have Josh Rodriguez, who's been in our program for 3 years. This is his first year on our staff. He played at Cal State Fullerton. He works with our outfielders. He also works a full-time job, so he makes a lot of sacrifices, lives in Corona to get there. He also helps me with the strategies against Brett Kay and Dave McConney a little bit, since he played with him at Cal State Fullerton.
That always helps.
And then another tremendous asset to our program this year is Chase Harrison. Chase was the MVP of the Trinity League in 2008. He played for me in 2009 and 2010. You know, he's battling Crohn's disease, and he's just a tremendous positive influence for these kids. He's been through, you know, trials and tribulations with Crohn's disease, and he's been in and out of the hospital just this year coaching with us, let alone over the last 7 or 8 years. And he's always got a smile on his face, and these kids can really learn a lot from him. He worked with our catchers. He's going to be a tremendous head coach one day. So I'm blessed. Again, our lower level coach is Dan Thome, is our head freshman coach. He's been at the school for 18 years as well, and he does all of our communications. There's just so much. I say all the time, it takes an army, and I'm blessed to have the guys that I do in our program. We have another alum, Aaron Gates, who's running our JV team. Again, it's nice to see those guys come back and give back. And then one more coach I want to talk about. We have Mike Scanlon, a retired UPS worker, that his passion for the game is just tremendous, and the guys really feed off him. So I think it's a collective thing, and we spoke about family earlier. It's a family, and our kids, I think, know that they can go to all of these coaches and get good advice, not only in the game, but for life itself.
Yeah, baseball is so much a family. The season is so long, and you spend so much time together. Coach, we want to thank you for joining us here on Catholic Sports View this week. We wish you success. Have fun out in North Carolina, and when you get back, we'll catch up with you again, because I know it's going to be a fun season for the Lancers and for the entire Trinity League. It's going to be a fun baseball season to watch all spring long.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me. I really appreciate it. God bless y'all.
You too. We appreciate it, Coach. That's Eric Borba, the head baseball coach at Orange Lutheran High School. We'll take another break here on Catholic Sports View, and we'll be right back here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Stay with us. Welcome back to Catholic Sports View, right here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Well, we recently had a chance to go out to J. Sarah High School, and we're going to talk some boys lacrosse out there. as we visited with their head coach, Brendan Porter, as well as one of their top players, Parker Bledsoe. Coach, thanks for giving us a couple of minutes.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. Thanks for having us to be a part of this. We're really excited to be here, obviously here with Parker, and just be a part of this Catholic News Radio. This is a really cool opportunity for us to be able to talk about what we're doing over here at JCR.
Yeah, thanks. We're going to talk with Parker Bledsoe here, that's sitting next to you here in a couple of minutes as well. But I kind of want to start with you because, lacrosse is a sport that on the East Coast is gigantic. It's huge, and you've been a part of that in your career. But to bring it out here to the West Coast, it's not quite as popular. It's getting more popular out here. It really is starting to grow. But give us a little bit about your background, how you got involved in the sport, and a little bit about your resume.
Yeah, so I grew up in New Jersey, and I was a baseball, basketball, football guy, and I had no idea what lacrosse was until I got into high school. So my freshman year of high school, we actually had gym class. Unlike here in California, we had gym class, and we were playing this game called Red Rover, and I was really good at it because I hated to lose, and I unfortunately picked on this small girl, and my gym teacher thought, you know what, that's a guy I need to give a stick to and let him hit people with it. And so he invited me to play lacrosse. I'm like, is that a gym class thing? He goes, no, it's an actual sport. Come out. And so I went out for it, and I thought it was the greatest sport ever. And so that was my freshman year of high school. I had no idea what lacrosse was before then. And then I fell in love with it. It included my two favorite sports, football and basketball. So just the constant movement of basketball, the up and down flow, but again, the contact that you get to have with football. And so the combination of the two, I was absolutely addicted. I just wanted to do it. And so my sophomore year, I ended up being able to make varsity, which was great at my high school. And we had a pretty decent high school team that year. I never played, but I got in and I got the experience of that. And then my junior year, I was able to be named the captain, and I was a high school All-American in the state of New Jersey my senior year, and I went to Rutgers University right after that. And so it was a lot of life lessons that I learned from the sport. Just, again, like I said, there were so many different aspects of it ever changing. And for me, my mom jokes around that I have ADD, and so lacrosse is perfect. If you are a very cerebral approach to life, go play baseball. If you just want things constantly moving around, come play lacrosse. We'd love to have you, right? And so for me, that was the best part about it.
12, 15 years ago, if you saw kids with the sticks in their hands at a park around here in Southern California, you'd think, what in the heck is going on over there? Now it's becoming more commonplace. Do you find that out here on the West Coast, it's at least starting to catch up a little bit to the East Coast?
Yes. I mean, it's getting better because there's so many people realizing that there's a lot of really good lacrosse talent in California, a lot of really good athletes, Parker being one of them, where you realize there's a guy who's focused on football or any other sport his entire life, and then you can put a stick in his hand and teach him how other sports that they've learned can correlate to the game, and then you can draw those kids to go back east. But I'm not kidding. There's multiple times that I've been walking up the street with a lacrosse stick because I was still playing professionally, and a girl asked me if I was going to catch butterflies. And I am a grown man with a lacrosse stick and a ball in it. And she's just like, oh, are you going to catch butterflies? I'm like, wow. It's still not. So you realize, just when you think California is catching on, a little girl asks you if you're going to catch butterflies. And you're like, we're not there yet. But it's getting there from a standpoint of just athletes.
We're starting to see more and more programs, more and more schools that have picked up the sport.
Oh, yeah.
Foothill, certainly, in Tustin has led the way over the years here in Orange County. John Fox down there, obviously, has built a juggernaut of a program and really spearheaded a lot of lacrosse here in Orange County. But you bring up a good point. We need more coaches like you, like him, that are going to stick with lacrosse and really bring it to young kids that will come up with it and then circle back and become the head coaches of the next generation.
Right. And so that's the big thing that you think about is John Fox has been in Foothill for 15 to 20 years. And so kids know lacrosse, and the other coaches like to work with him. It's really cool for me being here at JCERA, having Pat Harlow, the head football coach. His son Cole plays lacrosse. And so for him, he loves it. He loves sending his boys out to play, and he understands the sport. He gets it. He understands how it correlates back to football. So for him, that's fun. That's great. That's exciting. And for me, same thing. I want to be here long enough that I can have some kids come through that have then understood the game and grown with the game and realize how fun it is. It's not just this random thing. It actually is a really, really fun sport.
Right. Parker, when did you first pick up lacrosse? How did it come to your attention?
When I was in middle school, I was in like 7th grade. I had a few friends out there playing lacrosse, and they just really thought I'd be a good addition to their team. So they invited me out. I joined their team, and it clicked. I loved it a lot. So I played it throughout middle school, and I picked it back up out here at JCERA, and I've loved every minute of it.
When you hear Coach's story about how he picked up the sport and began to love it, I mean, do you relate to that?
I do, though. I mean, I played like football. I've grown up playing football my entire life, and I've known about lacrosse, but it never really like I never thought about playing it up until I was asked by a bunch of friends to play it with them. But other than that, I think it's a pretty relatable story. Yeah.
Do you see more of your friends, more of your peer group, getting interested in the sport?
I was able to bring a few of my football teammates out with me this year. Fortunately, a few of them couldn't stay, but they did enjoy the sport. They really loved it, and they want to play again one day. So, yeah.
Do you think that, in a way, it's kind of maybe this generation that started to lay the groundwork for what will become, hopefully, a sport that will blossom into what we see on the East Coast?
Yeah, for sure. I really think it's growing out here a lot with the youth and such. As long as youth keep playing and grow the sport, it'll grow out here.
How about this year's team? How do you guys feel about your season? Has just started, just a couple of games in as we talk here. But, you know, how do you guys feel about this upcoming season?
I feel pretty good about this year. We're a really young team, a lot of freshmen and sophomores. But if they stick to it and really commit to the process, I think we can be a really good lacrosse team.
Coach, do you find that kids take easily to this sport, or is it a process?
It's a process. So lacrosse, the hardest thing about lacrosse is it's a skill-based game. And so it's 100% skills. And that comes with just time and refinement of how do you properly throw overhand, right? Or if you're going to throw sidearm or underhand, how do you properly do those different skills and master those skills? But mastering the fundamentals of the game first before you can then grow. But people watch lacrosse on TV and they see like professional or college guys and they go, I want to do that right away. It's like, but they have lots and lots of things. So it takes a little bit, but there's guys like when he mentioned one of his friends from football, the punter on the football team, Jake Haggard, hasn't played lacrosse since seventh grade. And he had two goals the other night in our game versus Capitol Valley. And he's starting for us on varsity and he hasn't played since seventh grade. But he gets it because he understands the little fundamentals that he learned from a seventh grader. He picked him right back up as a junior, which is really great. You watch him throw, you're like, Jake, have you done this before? Or is this new? And so the beauty about lacrosse is you can take a lot of different sports and have the mindset of how that relates. I love lacrosse because it allows lots of different sports to shine.
How much better is the college game going to get from the fact that, you know, now you've got this West Coast pool of players that they're got? I imagine the college coaches are excited to see the sport growing out here as well.
Oh my gosh, it's been unbelievable. I have a bunch of buddies who coach at the college level, and I have a bunch of kids who I have coached who are now playing at the college level, and seeing that and seeing the understanding of, I had the kid Nick Bauer, perfect example, when he went on his recruiting trip to Princeton. They literally just kept asking him about Trinity League football because they were so excited about Trinity League football because he was a starting safety at Modern Day. They just couldn't believe that this kid wanted to play lacrosse. And you're like, you're a starting safety at Modern Day. And he's an unbelievable lacrosse player. And he started all 4 years at Modern Day, but they were like, what's Trinity League football like? That's so cool. And so it's unbelievable for a football coach or a lacrosse coach at Princeton University to be like enamored with that.
Our closing moments here as we focus on the JCR lacrosse program out here with Coach Porter. And with Mr. Bledsoe here next to me, who is one of the top players here in the Trinity League. As we wrap up here, we're in a time where there's so much, you know, athletes are so focused on one sport. You know, we see specialization. You know, football players are football players, and very rarely do anybody play multi-sports anymore. Are we in a spot where we're starting to see kids come up and just be lacrosse players?
For a kid to focus on one sport, right, and like, oh, but I want to play in college, I want to get a college scholarship. The understanding of how the scholarships break down, you're still paying for school, right? So it's the understanding of it's important to play the lacrosse year-round, right? And have your stick in your hand year-round. But go play another sport, right? Have your stick in your hand. Go play a little bit of wall ball in between, like, after a football game to clear your head, maybe. But don't just sit there with the same coach year-round hearing that constant person's voice. I want our kids to go hear other people's voices. I want our kids to learn other sports. I want our kids to go play other sports. And I'll go support you because at the end of the day, you're a kid, right? You need to enjoy it, and you need to realize that your body needs rest. Your body needs a lot of different things, but doing the same thing repetitively. Like, again, I'm a coach. I love all my kids. I don't want to see them every hour of every day, right? They're great, but, like, go do something. Like, you know, like the other day we had a homework hour. So I'm like, you know what? I thought about this, like, you guys don't need to hear me coaching you right now. Like, go do homework because you guys, you're student athletes first. Right. And so realizing that, right, one of the best lacrosse players that I've ever played with, one of the best lacrosse players of all time, Ryan Boyle, was a quarterback of the football team, was a point guard on the basketball team, and was a lacrosse player. And he went on to Princeton, and he's Ryan Boyle. That's all you need to know, right? And so it's like, he played multiple sports. I played multiple sports. It's great. It's fun. Go be a kid. And then when you get to college, you have your full-time job. And then don't be in such a rush to be, oh, I can't wait till I get to college. Yeah. enjoy high school. There's nothing like high school. Is the only way to say it. Like, there's nothing like playing in Trinity League and being able to get cool swag and ride on really cool buses and, like, do all that stuff and realize, like, okay, high school wasn't as bad as I thought it was, and it was really fun, and enjoy it, where your mom makes your meals every day. Enjoy that. And then ramen noodles comes in, and you're like, what happened?
College is a whole different experience. Yeah, it's right? True.
What's going on? You become an adult, you're 26, still eating ramen noodles. You're like, mom, come to California. So, yeah. So it's different. Yeah. It's great. So.
Speaking of college in the future, I know you got another year left here at JCR to worry about after this, but you thinking about the future and maybe a chance to play lacrosse in college someday?
Oh, yeah. I've definitely been thinking about the future. I've been really focusing on my grades, make sure that's all in check. But, yeah, if I have the opportunity to play college lacrosse or even college football, I'd be very happy.
Well, I want to thank both of you for taking some time out and talking lacrosse with us. It's a lot of fun, and we hope to see the sport get bigger and bigger here on the West Coast, and we'll be following you guys.
Perfect. Thank you very much for the opportunity to be a part of this. I want to build leaders that are worth being followed, and that's the biggest thing that I do. And a lot of times when I break the huddle, I tell the guys, I love you and I believe in you. And the reason being is because these guys need to know that, they need to hear that, and at the end of the day, God has their plan for every single one of their lives, and it's way bigger than sports. And so at the end of the day, if that's the one thing that you can take away from this interview or take away from any of this, it's like Kelly Parker Bledsoe, if he goes and plays college sports, great. If he doesn't, great. But God still wants to use you, and God has a plan for you. So it's great.
No better message than to leave with on that right there. Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
Yep. You got it. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having me.
One more quick break here on Catholic Sports View, and we're headed to Santa Margarita. When we come back, stay with us. Joining us this week, right here on Catholic Sports View, the Santa Margarita High Boys Volleyball Program is one of the top teams in the county, and we recently had a chance to catch up with their head coach, Justin DeBlasio, and one of their top players, senior middle blocker, Garrett Rohrer.
Coaches, as we head into the spring sports now, you know, volleyball starts to take center stage, usher out basketball here at Santa Margarita. Fun to get back in the gym once again and watch your guys, strike the volleyball.
Yeah, I mean, it's always fun getting it started, and this year is kind of new for us. We had four seniors that graduated last year, three of which have been on varsity all 4 years. So it was kind of a new environment for us coming into the gym and playing the Tesoro tournament early. We needed to find out, you know, how good we were going to be, who's going to start. But it's just been a lot of fun the first couple weeks of the season. So very exciting start.
This is a program that obviously has a storied history behind it, been very successful. Do you find that each year, I mean, you really have to go back to the drawing board as the coach and map out what each new season is going to be?
Well, with the brand of the institution being Santa Margarita, it's very easy to go out into the community and find those junior high kids to say, yeah, I want to go be a Santa Margarita Eagle and play volleyball. So that isn't as tough as, you know, just going up against Trinity League competition. And then in the sport of men's volleyball, you know, you have your Loyolas, Maricostas, Newport, CDM. So those guys are always going to be juggernauts. So we're trying to go up and reach that level every year.
Is that what's fun, is to be able to compare yourself against those other great programs? There's no shortage of talent in Southern California.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's what it's all about. I mean, I remember when I played here, it was trying to get on the map, and at the end of it was winning CIF, and we were finally in that conversation, and that's always what it's all about. I just want these guys to have that opportunity to play at the highest level and go through those battles and have the memories, you know, when they look back on their career in high school.
You played here in the mid-90s. Yeah. What was the experience like for you, back then as a player when you put yourself back in what their shoes are right now?
Well, yeah, I mean, I look back on it fondly. It was a huge struggle in the beginning. You know, my freshman year, I remember it, you know, like it was yesterday, we were 3-13, ending my senior year 19-1 and, you know, with a CIF title. But those years, it was the great thing about it was going through that struggle and figuring out that all that work led you to where you wanted to be. So it was huge for me. And now I just want to give back to these guys to say, you know, if you set your mind to something, you know, you set your goals, you guys can achieve it. And I think that's, you know, a great thing for these guys to know and learn.
You mentioned what a unique institution this is. You know, Catholic education, that's at the forefront of everything that that happens here. You know, Catholics in the name, Santa Margarita Catholic High School. Does it make it a little easier for you because you know what it takes to be an athlete here and you can kind of lead your guys down the path, especially the younger guys that are just coming in?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if anything's ever easy, you know, in the competitive environment. But knowing what I know, being a student here and having, you know, been an assistant here and then going out and coaching at some public schools, I love what this institution does for kids and how the faculty and staff are so committed to each student athlete and each student here in their individual success and the success as a whole. The camaraderie here, I just don't see that anywhere else. It's unlike anything else. And that's what I think I love most about it, is that we're truly a family. And I feel that this institution sets you up for future success in life.
Justin DeBlasio, head boys volleyball coach at Santa Margarita High School, joining us this week on Catholic Sports View. You know, I mentioned it's a Catholic school. I imagine that's at the forefront of the program and the daily routine that you go through with your guys.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we just had our spring sports mass yesterday morning, so we all do that together. And at the end of each day, we pray. And, you know, we're grateful for the opportunity to come out here and compete and have, you know, faith be the focus in our daily routine.
Speaking of the daily routine, does it change? Is the beginning of the season any different than 14 or, you know, 12, 13 weeks into the season?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the first couple weeks of the season, we're really trying to dial in our system, go over the little things right off the bat and, you know, really go over the details. So it's a very slow practice because we have to make sure the details are correct. And then as we get into mid-season, we're really trying to get more of those reps and then six-on-six play just to kind of replicate, you know, match-like stress, stressful situation.
You mentioned all the talent, you know, around Southern California. This is a school where students choose to come here. Mm-hmm. Students choose to come be part of Santa Margarita. Do you feel like in some ways you're in competition with some of the other Catholic schools around here, some of the other private schools, to get some of those good athletes into your program?
Absolutely, yeah. Even some of the Christian schools outside the Trinity League. But I think volleyball is extremely competitive in the coastal communities. And choosing where they go to school, that volleyball program comes into play, as well as what it's going to do for them in getting into college. So fortunately, we have a good kind of pulse on the juniors as far as, you know, the club environment and things of that nature. So it's been very good for us the last few years. And I think the last two freshman classes might be our strongest freshman classes to come in the last, you know, 5 to 7 years.
Justin DeBlasio, boys volleyball coach at Santa Margarita, our guest this week. You played college, you know, volleyball, two different places, but nonetheless, you know, got the chance to play at the collegiate level. Is that one of your goals, is to help your guys who want to play college volleyball get to that next level, you know, get there and achieve that dream as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I always think, for me, my philosophy and goal is, number one, I'm a third-party influence in their life to help them get to where they want to go. And then also knowing that club and high school is a platform for what they want to do in sport and get to that next level. And it's always very gratifying when you can help someone achieve their dream or achieve to go play at that next level.
You know, we talk about the Trinity League and how tough it is in all sports. Certainly that applies to volleyball as well. But a lot of the talent lies outside of the Trinity as well. So we talk in so many sports about gearing up to get to the Trinity, but it's not that hard to gear up against some of these other schools that you mentioned before, but before you get to the Trinity.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Newport and CDM, they're going to be very, very good. I mean, I think probably four or five of those guys are going to all be Division One level players at the next level. And to be on a high school team, to have that many, it's kind of unheard of. So those guys are going to be very tough and probably gearing up for them against in a CIF matchup. And then also we just played Beckman, who's got a fantastic outside hitter in Spencer Olivier. He's going to Long Beach State. And then within our own league, Mater Dei, I think they're just very good. They've got a great sense of camaraderie, great sense of, you know, just high-level volleyball IQ players that have been playing for a long time. So, yeah, we're getting geared up for it.
As you look ahead, excitement about watching some of these kids, you mentioned younger kids, but the older kids that are on the team, you're seeing them complete what they've started here. Always an excitement to see that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. As I've mentioned before, there's a couple of players that have been on varsity since their freshman year. But with Garrett here, you know, seeing him start out on the freshman team here, and then now he's, you know, one of the leaders physically, vocally on varsity, and everybody else looks up to him. It's just something that's great to see that individual progress throughout the years and really step into that role, that leadership role for us.
Coach, I want to thank you for joining us here on Catholic Sports View. Good luck, and go get him this volleyball season.
All right, thanks so much.
That is Justin DeBlasio, the head volleyball coach at Santa Margarita High School. We have a couple of minutes to visit with Garrett Rohr, senior middle blocker with the Eagles. Thanks for taking a couple of minutes with us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Excited that it's finally volleyball season. The spring is upon us, and it's now time for you and your teammates to step into the spotlight.
Oh, I'm more than excited. I always look forward to it throughout the fall and winter to get the guys together to get us going, improve our skills, and just to come together as a team and learn from our mistakes and just get in the season.
How much do you take the role of a leader under your shoulders?
Well, I see myself as one of the physical and mental leaders on our team as captain, along with another good friend of mine. We're kind of the leaders and vocal leaders on the court, and we just try to keep the guys together. Even if they make a mistake, just say, hey, it's okay, shake it off. Get them on the next play, and just try to make sure that everything's all right and that we still have this in the bag.
What else is entailed in that role? Does coach tell you ways to be a leader, or is that just something you've kind of learned along the way yourself?
It's something I've kind of learned. So I was on varsity my sophomore year and leading up to my senior year, and I always kind of looked up to the captains on my sophomore and junior year, and I kind of learned from them what it takes to be a leader, and I kind of adopted those aspects and traits that they taught me.
We always talk about, you know, the kids choose to come to a school like Santa Margarita. What went into your choice? Why did you want to be an Eagle?
Well, my sisters both came to Santa Margarita, and after visiting the school a couple times, doing some summer volleyball camps, I just really liked the school, kind of the camaraderie along the players, and I just really liked the overall team chemistry, and from that point on, I was just dedicated to being an Eagle.
Tell us your earliest memories of volleyball, how you got interested in the sport, and what drew you to the sport of volleyball.
Well, it all started kind of around my seventh grade, because my mom played volleyball in college and high school, and so she dragged me to a tryout at 9-for-9 Volleyball Club, and I did not want to go. And so she dragged me to the tryout, and I instantly just fell in love with the sport. It was the craziest thing, and have played it ever since.
So does your mom remind you of that story all the time now?
Oh, yeah. I never hear the end of it. Never.
Where did you play other sports growing up?
Yeah, growing up, I played a lot of baseball and basketball because my dad played basketball in high school. So I grew up playing those sports, a little bit of golf here and there, but volleyball just overtook all those other sports.
How important is it that, you know, you're part of something special here at Santa Margarita? How important is it to you to leave that legacy for the younger kids? And now that, you know, you were the younger kid one time coming in, now you see those kids coming into the program. How important is it to leave that legacy to them?
It's really important because the seniors who left before me, they left that legacy on me. So what I'm trying to do is when I leave, to make an impact on the younger guys so that they can learn traits about being a leader from me and try to implement that next year on the even younger guys.
Garrett Rohr joining us here on Catholic Sports View. We're at Santa Margarita High School focusing on the boys volleyball program. You take a chance before the season to sit down with your teammates, talk about things. Have these kind of discussions been going on is leading up to the season? I mean, is there a specific thing that you guys do to kind of kick things off here?
We kind of just hang out a lot as a team. We have team bondings a lot when we get together, just like talk, get to know each other better so that like nothing's awkward, just like become like really good and tight friends, which is what I've been trying to implement this year.
When will you know if this is going to be one of those, you know, special teams, or do you already kind of have that feeling?
I kind of had that feeling going into it because I could tell that amongst like the players that we had like great hitters and passers, and I had one of those feelings that this year we'd be a pretty good team.
Well, we want to wish you luck, Garrett. Have a great season, and we'll be following you all season long.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
That's Garrett Rohr, the middle blocker here at Santa Margarita High School, and they're poised to have a great season out here in the Trinity League.
That will wrap up another edition of Catholic Sports View here on Immaculate Heart Radio. We thank you for joining us. I want to thank all my guests this week. If you want to catch any past episodes or catch this show again, just simply log on to OCCatholic.com/radio, and all the shows are archived. Thanks again for joining us. My name is Bob Gibson, and we'll see you next week right here on Catholic Sports View.